Good day and welcome to the Social Security Quarterly All EN Payments Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I will turn the conference over to Ms. Kimberly Cutler. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our quarterly All EN Payments Call. I am Kimberly Cutler, the EN Payments Manager, and also the host of today's call. The purpose of today's presentation is to provide insight into the payment process on the following agenda topics. So we will discuss, we do have an announcement, we will discuss the ePay stats, ePay reminders. We have a few payment reminders that we will cover, payment topics, the presentation will also provide available resources for service providers. At the end of the presentation, we will have a question and answer form. So before moving on to the agenda topics that I just mentioned, I just wanted to remind you all that on August 14th of this year, SSA performed a ticket portal release, which added a final enhancement to eliminate all manual payment requests. Before this enhancement, there were some issues when ENs would go to request phase one milestone one. At that time, prior to the enhancement, the portal would not allow you to request certain phase one milestones through the portal. But because SSA performed that enhancement, ENs are now able to submit all phase one milestone requests via the portal. Now, you ENs will receive a message if SSA has look-back earnings that make the case unpayable. But now ENs are able to submit for those payments. So you're still going to receive a message that there may be earnings that make the payment unpayable. But rather than having to submit the request manually and having the request denied due to look-back earnings, you will be able to submit that request via the portal. So just wanted to provide that reminder. So we should not, TPM should not receive manual payment requests unless it's something related to your contract or some type of systems issue, and then you should contact the help desk. But just wanted to note that that restriction is no longer there, so Ian should be able to submit for all payment types, your phase one, your phase twos, and your outcomes via the ticket portal. Did want to just provide some information about the ePay file. I know everyone gets excited, you know, when we're processing ePay file and when we complete the file. So TPM staff, we did complete the July ePay file, and from that file, there were 11,788 claims processed, 3,467 SSNs were paid, and the total amount paid from that July file was $6,185,254. So that was our July ePay file. And we have started processing the October file. We did start processing that file on October 20th. So we're on schedule because normally these are quarterly files. So we try to stay on schedule with processing these files each quarter. So as mentioned, we are now in the process of our October 2021 ePay file. And because we are processing ePay file, we always want to provide you with the reminders, right? So ENs may submit payment requests through the ticket portal instead of waiting for ePay. So you do not have to wait for the ePay file. We prefer that you do because we do pick up a lot of those payments, especially like your outcomes. You are still able to request through the portal if you prefer. And please remember that Phase 1 Milestone 4 is now paid via ePay, but ENs must still submit payment requests for Phase 1 Milestones 1 through 3 through the ticket portal with proof of relationship. So for traditional ENs, we will pick up your Phase 1 Milestone 4 if your Phase 1 Milestones 1 through 3 have already been addressed. Address simply means paid or denied. So you still want to make sure you're requesting those through the portal along with proof of relationship. And unassigned tickets are not included on ePay. And ENs must have passed their annual services and support review to be eligible to have your DUNS and your SSNs on the ePay file. And thing to remember, the ePay file is processed in order of SSN and not done. So I did mention that we recently, you know, last week started processing the ePay file. So you may, be in a position where you pass your annual services and supports review and you're like, okay, I haven't received any ePay payments. It's based on SSN, not done. So you may receive a couple of payments because your SSNs are, we're processing them this week. You may not receive another payment for a few days because we're going in order of SSN and not done. Okay, so those are just a few ePay reminders. So we're going to move on to our next agenda topic. And what we decided to do on this call is we just want to provide some reminders that will hopefully, you know, assist you when you're contacting the help desk and when you're processing your payments. So we just wanted to provide you with a few reminders. Just want to make sure that EINs must provide their DUNS when contacting the payments help desk for information, right? So you cannot email personally identifiable information. You can't, you know, password protect it. You can't encrypt it. We cannot mail or email any personal identifiable information. So what we request and require is when you're sending your email inquiry, make sure you're including the work case that's associated with the payment request. That will allow the staff to go into that work case, answer any questions that you may have about that work case. So do not email any personal identifiable information. Just make sure you're sending in the work case number that's associated with your payment request, and that's how the staff will be able to assist you in answering your questions about your payment request. Okay? And proof of relationship. This has been in place for a while. We still get questions about proof of relationship, so you want to make sure that you know that it is required. Proof of relationship is required when requesting Phase 1 Milestones 1 through Phase 1 Milestone 3. And, of course, proof of relationship can be established through pay stubs and or a completed proof of relationship form, or we know it as the POR. And please remember that proof of relationship items must be submitted at the time the payment is requested. There's been some confusion thinking that EINs have that 9-business-day window to submit their proof of relationship. That is not so. You do not have 9 business days to submit proof of relationship documentation. Proof of relationship is required along with the submitted payment request. So we do understand that once you submit it, you may have to go out and go back in, you know, whatever the process is for the portal, but please make sure that you're submitting that within that same time frame. We are having some cases denied because EINs are submitting for, let's say, Phase 1, Milestone 1 on Monday, but they may take 10 days before they send in proof of relationship. And if we're processing your case and proof of relationship is not associated to the case or is not received, that case will be denied because we do not outreach for those items. So please, please make sure when requesting Phase 1, Milestone 1 through Phase 1, Milestone 3, that you are providing your proof of relationship, okay? And if you're submitting your pay stubs are standalone. So if you submit pay stubs for your milestone period, then that's proof of relationship. If you're going to submit the proof of relationship form or the POR must include the services provided to the ticket holder and the dates the services were provided. So you want to make sure that you have both. Please do not just list the services provided, but please provide the date that those services were provided on your POR form. Another reminder is EINs have 24 months from the attainment month to request a payment, right? Because SSA will not accept payment requests for periods outside this 24-month window. So we just wanted to provide that reminder as well. Please note that earnings for self-employed ticket holders do not post in SSA's database until after the ticket holders file their annual taxes for the previous year. We get a lot of questions about self-employed ticket holders, so please just make sure to know that SSA will not have those earnings until after the ticket holders have filed their taxes for the previous years. So what you can do as their EN is encourage your ticket holders to file their income taxes timely, right? That's something that you can do to help them get that information in so that you can submit for payment. The 18-month look-back tool, right? So earnings at the trial work level during this period may impact the availability of some or all of the Phase 1 milestones for that ticket holder. So make sure you take that into consideration. So when you're talking to your beneficiaries and doing your intake with them, these are the questions that you want to ask. These are the things that you want to find out is about prior earnings. And please be aware that Social Security's database is a living document. It's a living system. So this means a ticket holder's earnings can appear at any time, usually months and on some occasions years after the earnings occur. So, again, you want to, when you're meeting with your ticket holders and you're doing your ongoing support and you're meeting with them, make sure they are reporting their information, make sure they've reported their earnings, and just be mindful, again, that Social Security database is a living system, so its earnings could post at any time. And in relation to that, Ian occasionally experienced overpayments as a result of the late posting of earnings information, right? So that's why we want you to be mindful that it may not be here this month, but they could post the following month. And the look-back period for earnings is a maximum of 18 months prior to ticket assignment date. However, the look-back period is for months between the date of disability onset and the ticket assignment date. So in that case, when you're talking about the date of disability onset, that period could possibly be less than 18 months. So that's information that you want to try to obtain as well, is the date of disability onset. So you're kind of looking at how far you're going to go back for prior earnings, but the maximum is 18 months. So if you do not have that date of disability onset when you're completing your 18-month look-back tool, please take that back 18 months just so you're being sure, right? And, of course, once you submit your request, TPM will conduct an 18-month look-back as well, because we may have access to earnings information that you do not have. So we will complete an 18-month look-back review of earnings, too, just to make sure that we are paying what should be paid based on prior earnings. Another reminder is Ian should always respond immediately to any requests from TPM for additional or missing information. We talked about the fact that you do not have 9 business days to submit your proof of relationship, because that's a complete package. That comes with your payment request, right, for Phase 1, Milestones 1 through Milestone 3. But if TPM reaches out to you guys for additional information or missing information, you want to make sure that you respond immediately to those requests. And SSA does allow 9 business days for an EN to respond before denying a payment based on missing information. So just wanted to be clear with this one. If TPM reaches out to you for additional information, you do have 9 business days. But you want to make sure as soon as you get that, you know, that response, that contact, please go ahead and provide that information so that we can go ahead and process your payment request, and you do not run the risk of having your case denied, having your payment request denied, because we did not receive the requested information timely. So that's definitely one of the reminders we wanted to provide. Okay. Now, during the intake, this would be a good time for Ian to ask your ticket holders about any prior history of receiving VR services and whether they were working at the time of their VR case closure. So, again, your ticket holder is one of your best resources during your intake process. Ask them about prior VR hit services, because Phase 1 milestone exclusions applies to all ticket holders with a successful VR case closure after January 2002, that is within 18 months prior to ticket assignment. So that may, I'm not sure if you guys see that, but it may be a typo. We have January, but it is January 2002. That's within 18 months prior to ticket assignment. So this is why we want you guys to ask your ticket holders about prior VR services when during your intake, right, during your intake process. Now, many ticket holders exiting VR services with employment have earnings at or above SGA, substantial gainful activity. For these ticket holders, the EN can begin requesting phase two milestone payments the month following the month the EN secured the ticket assignment. So, in other words, if you do have a client, you know, a ticket holder, and you have information and you can see that they had a successful closure after January 2002, and that successful closure was within 18 months prior to ticket assignment, phase one milestones 1 through 4 are off the table, but you still have money out there. You still have payments out there. So you can begin requesting your phase two milestone payments as long as the beneficiary is making at least SGA and they benefits are in current pay for phase two milestones. So we just want you to be aware of the complete picture of the ticket and where you stand with your payments. So that's why it's imperative that you find out about VR services during your intake. So, again, you will know where you are with payments, which payments you would start with based on that VR history. Right. So those were just a few reminders, payment reminders that we wanted to give you guys today. And hopefully, you know, they will assist you in when you're in requesting your payments. Sometimes, you know, you're requesting payments, and we sometimes forget the little things. So these are just a few reminders we wanted to provide you guys today. And we also want to invite you to share topics that you would be interested in discussing through this forum, because of course our goal is to help educate you and provide clarification on process and procedures related to payments. So please, if you have any EN payment topics, that you send those to the EN Payments Help Desk. And if you have your presentation up, you'll see that you can send those suggestions, those topics, to EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. So, again, if you have some topics that you would like for us to share that are, you know, that are related to EN payments, we encourage you to send that information over to the help desk. And here we want to make sure we have some valuable resources for you. We want to make sure that you utilize the contact information on this resource slide. If you have any questions related to payments, ticket assignment, or the service provider website, they are there to assist you. And like I started out the presentation, just making sure that when you do contact the help desk, that you have your DUNS number, you have your DUNS information so that the staff can help you effectively, that you have that information ready. If you're contacting the help desk, you know, with payments, making sure that you have your work case number associated with the case. Because, again, we want to just make sure that we're providing you with effective help, giving you that information that you need. So there you have your resources. Now, this completes the presentation portion of today's call. We will now open the line for questions, and please be mindful that questions related to specific SSNs may require assistance from the Payments Help Desk. We may not be able to answer those questions about specific SSNs or specific payments because we don't have all the details, and we don't want to just give a general answer for a case that we really need to look at the details of the case. So please make sure for those specific SSNs, those specific payment questions, that you're reaching out to the help desk so that they can get that information and be able to assist you. All right. So we will go ahead. If you don't mind going and open the phone line for any questions that we have right now.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please signal it by pressing *1 on your keypad. And if you use your speakerphone, please ensure that the mute function is turned off. Again, it is *1 for a question. We're going to pause for just one moment. Okay. First question comes from Jamie Schmitz. Please go ahead.
Hi, Hi. My question is regarding the work number. We use the work number when the beneficiary is an EPE, and we've been getting denials because it does not provide net earnings. We were not under, I mean, we have no control over what information employers provide, and there's no way of knowing that those net earnings, the difference between net and gross, are not garnishment of wages and that they are just truly only taxes. And we've just started getting this denial this year. I mean, is this true? Is this how this is supposed to be happening? Were you guys aware that as you approved the work number as a, you know, a source of earnings, that you know, not all employers provide gross and net?
Yes. So we the work number is an approved third-party source, but even with it being approved, the documentation must provide the required information. So I have seen that. I have seen cases have been denied for that. Because we do see different, so like you said, some employers report it and some do not. So when it comes to the purpose of payments, we have to have certain information. So if using the work number does not provide that information, then you would need to find a different source. I know, like you said, we said, oh, you know, you can use the work number, you know, to get the earnings information. But, again, even though it is approved source, it still must provide the required information. And if not, then we would ask that you have to find another source for providing those earnings information.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, do we have any other questions?
Hamid Hajbian, please go.
Hi.
Hi, yes, so this is Hamid calling, and I do have a question. I've had an issue, and I've been working with the help desk with that issue, but they're saying they don't have any information or resources and that I would need to pose my question with this quarterly conference, so that's what I'm trying to do at this moment. So my issue is about a client who became unassisted with his transcript on my portal list, and it was without an annotation from you all that was provided to me about my client that it is unassigned, and then that case was closed. And there was no notes or annotations as to why. And so I don't understand why it was unassigned. No notes or anything communicated to me. So I have no recourse as to what's going on with this case. And the client has left. And so I need to access that information. How do I do that?
Okay, so just want to make sure I understand the question. So ticket was assigned to you, but then the ticket per the portal, the ticket has been unassigned, but you weren't aware of the unassignment? Was that your question? I'm sorry.
Yes. And, for example, I do have an example. So I have about 100 clients in this portal on my list, and I was going through it. And then the next day, I was one less. I was down to 99. And I'm trying to figure out who left. Where did they go? And I'm going through this list, and it's a lot of extra time. And finally, I came across this one customer that had left. But I had to spend all of this time trying to figure out what client left. It would have been nice if I would have had some type of system that would have told me, hey, this particular client was left or is unassigned or no longer qualified or terminated. Without that information, that would have been, or no longer qualified, all of that would have been a nice way of being able to give them that information up front without me having to go through all of my records to figure out which client it was. And we're talking about 100 clients here. So, yeah, I guess that's my question.
So I will say this. Let me just say this first. Ticket holders, just as EMs, do have the right to unassign a ticket at any time without cause, without giving a reason. The portal is there, yes, you know, to give you you know, run the report, tickets assigned to me. And with having that many tickets, like you said, just trying to figure out which one. And Kate, I don't know if you can chime in, but like I do, the portal is real time.
I was going to chime in.
Okay.
Hi, this is Katie Stravinger from SSA. So I can. So it looks like you were looking at the currently assigned to me list. There is another list right underneath that from the main menu screen called previously assigned to me. If you go to that list, you should see, based on the unassignment dates, a recent unassignment date.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. I did. I looked at that second option, but it says not relevant. So I was looking for the terminated, or I'm saying if you had the option for those that are terminated, not this particular client didn't fall under that list. So former clients, yes, or previously, I understand that's a list, but those that themselves left or they case closed or they terminated, that type of activity is not in that previously, that system. I don't see them there in that portal.
So if you see that list, there's a box to check include terminated tickets. You know, I do recommend for that screen, you know, because you can only see so many ticket holders on the screen at the time in the portal, right? So you have the option to download the list to Excel. If you download the list to Excel and you check the box include terminated tickets, you would see those on there and you would see an indication that they were terminated. But, you know, if you do, and like I said, downloading that list to Excel will give you every ticket that has been assigned to you at one time, right? You're in at one time and then it's completely unassigned, the current status. Is no longer assigned to you. If you download that to Excel, you will see the unassignment date. As for the reason, besides having an indication of something was terminated, you know, that is not provided in the portal. You can contact the help desk. They could tell you perhaps, you know, it is available whether or not the beneficiary unassigned it, but they can't tell you any reason, right? So, you know, there's only so much we can do once a beneficiary has decided to unassign the ticket. But it did seem like your main concern when you called was how do I find out who that one ticket holder was, right? And that's why I wanted to lead you to the other report in the portal. So between those two reports, the currently assigned to me and the formerly previously assigned to me, that should be every ticket holder you've ever had and SSA has ever had assigned to you. That should be the entire list of everybody between those two links. That's all SSA has, you know, about you and your EN and all the ticket holders you've worked with. But if you have a specific question about a specific person, then, you know, you're going to have to call the help desk. And that's where I think Kim was going.
Right. Thanks, Katie. And hopefully that answers your question, sir.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that didn't help too much. I mean, I've spoken to the help desk twice. They didn't have any resources or any additional information regarding their systems or methods, so that's why they referred me to you. And these details don't seem – the program hasn't developed exactly what I'm talking about yet from what I can see. So I just had to manually go from A to Z to check every single client to figure out who was there. And until I finally got to my particular client that I saw alphabetically. So it just was a lot of manual labor, very tedious, and I just thought if there was one thing that just said terminated, that would have been easier to catch.
Okay. Yeah, well, sorry we couldn't help, but, you know, we're always looking for ways to enhance, you know, the portal. But like you said, right now we're just not at a point where we could give you that information. But, and like Katie said, you know, ticket holder unassigned the ticket. They do not have to give a reason. I know maybe that's what you're looking for in the portal. I'm not sure. But, yeah, unfortunately, you know, we have the system where it is today. So. All right. Well, thank you.
I'm so sorry. Just to wrap up, I wasn't the reason why they were unassigned. I just wanted to be able to find out who was unassigned. That's what I was looking for. So, but that's thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. That's all I can figure it out myself. Thanks.
Hello, this is Deborah. The question I have for the caller, you mentioned unassigned and terminated both. They're two different issues. As Katie mentioned, if that ticket holder was terminated, you may have needed to check off that box on the side. So if you didn't see that name, if you didn't check off that box and the beneficiary, what ticket was terminated, you wouldn't see it there. So it all depends on
what
happened.
Sorry to interrupt. I did check that box. And the next question after that was, well, what's the client's name? I didn't know who this client was. I wouldn't have had that information. So that's
okay.
What I was asking for, if it's the
okay.
terminated and then if, along with the client name.
Okay. So, Katie, when you check off that box, it just doesn't give you a list of terminated beneficiaries?
So the way the screen works, and I will refer everyone to your ticket portal user guide. So the previously assigned to me link, you click on that link, it brings you to a page. Depending on how many ticket holders you have, you know, if you have a large amount, it won't automatically display on the screen, but some it will show a handful on the screen. And if you want to know how recent, because, you know, if you think about it, a terminated ticket holder is no longer in the program, right? A previously assigned you ticket holder, you can do something with them, right? You could, you know, request a payment. You can look at their history. But if a ticket's terminated, it's no longer with the program. So they're not going to display automatically a list of previously assigned to you. So what you're going to do is you're going to check that box to include terminated tickets, and you need to download to Excel. It's not going to put it on a screen. And when you download the list to Excel, and this is a reminder for anyone who is trying to connect a name on the screen, right, we only show you the name on the ticket portal because of protecting PII. If you need to associate a name with an SSN, any screen where it has the option to download to Excel, when you download that to Excel, that will give you both the SSN and the full name. So perhaps that step of downloading to Excel was not done, and that would be how you would get the name and the SSN. And that works on all the screens. So hopefully this helps more than one person.
Yeah, I'll play with that. Thank you very much. Thank you. And it's not a big deal. It was just, a shortcut to save some time and that process, lessen it. But if it was all in one program, that was my question. But I can look at the user guide and, I guess, work with the Excel part. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. And if you come back and you have, you know, please do reach back out. You know, we are here to help.
All right. Thanks, Ms. Tennessee. Thanks, Katie. And I know we just took a couple of questions from the phone line. Adele, do we have any questions in the chat?
Hi, Kimberly. Yes, I have a few here. First question, Phase 1 milestone exclusion applies to all ticket holders with a successful VR case closure after January 2022. Well, that is within the 18 months prior to the ticket assignment. Are Phase 1 milestones available to the EN after the 18 months?
Yeah, and I just wanted to make a correction. I know the PowerPoint says 2022, but it's January 2002.
That's right.
So I apologize for that. It's 2002. So what we look for, like we said, we're looking for earnings 18 months prior to ticket assignment, right, to the ticket assignment date. So if you have a ticket holder and you have access to their earnings prior to ticket assignment, but those earnings are way, they're outside of the 18 months, then you would possibly be eligible for your Phase 1 Milestone 1. Let me just say this. The 18-month look-back exclusion would not apply, but you still have other exclusions that could be VR involvement. But as it relates to the 18-month look-back, too, yes, if the earnings are outside of that 18-month window, then, yes, you would be possibly eligible for your Phase 1 Milestones 1 through 4.
Okay. Thanks, Kim. And can we update the earnings estimator to cover up to 52 weeks of earnings? You know, currently, the spreadsheet allows 40 weeks of entries, and there's a need to create a new spreadsheet for the same beneficiary.
For the earnings estimator, too, that's online?
Yes, ma'am.
So they're asking us to add additional lines to that?
Looking if we can currently the spreadsheet allows for 40 weeks of entries, and looks like there's a need to create a new spreadsheet for the same beneficiary because there's 52 weeks. I see what they're saying.
Right. Does the tool not allow you to add additional line items? I, without having it up, I'm not sure. That's something we can definitely, you know, have to look at the tool itself.
Okay. And I have one more here. What is the portal address?
Now that question, I'm not sure. The portal address?
That says, what is the portal address? So I guess they're asking, how do they get to the portal?
Okay. Because once you become an EN and you go through your suitability and go through certain training and modules, you will have access to the portal. So if you have not received how information on how to access the portal, it could be that you're not eligible, you're not able to, you know, you haven't, you're not suitable to go through the portal or not. I'm not sure if that's what they're asking for.
If they have, if that didn't help, they can ask another question.
Right,
thanks,
okay.
Kim. That's what I have for now.
All right, thank you, Adele. And do we have any questions on the phone queue?
Yes. Our next question comes from Dara Smith. Please go ahead.
Okay. My question is in reference to one of my ticket holders that was a phase two, milestone four. But what happened is that when I sent it in, I got denied, and then it came back again. He was an MO. He was an MO 1, 2, and 3. So I'm not understanding how a phase two, which should be 36 months, skips from there to an MO.
Right, so MO means outcome payment. So it looks like, again, this is a specific case, but it does look like, you know, you were receiving, like you said, your phase two milestone four. And in order to receive a phase two, the beneficiary must earn SGA level amount and also be in current pay. So they must be receiving a federal cash benefit. So whenever, you know, you submit it for your phase two, we deny that phase two milestone payment because the ticket holder is no longer receiving cash benefits. So rather than just denying your case and telling you that, you know, like, oh, you can't get phase two because the ticket holder is no longer in current pay, what we did was we denied your request, right? Then we went ahead and created your outcome payments because now the benefit, the ticket holder is no longer receiving a federal cash benefit, but they're still earning SGA level. So now you're able to receive your outcome payments. So that's why your phase two milestone four was denied, and you received your, I think you said, milestone outcomes 1 through 3 because the ticket holder entered the outcome phase. They were no longer receiving a federal cash benefit.
Okay. All right. So that phase, when you say phase two goes to up to 36 months, and although that's a SGA as well, earnings, that doesn't work any longer.
So because, yeah, you're right. So I'm just going to say in a perfect ticket world, right, you would receive all of your, you receive your phase one milestones 1 through 4, you receive all of your phase twos, and you receive your outcomes. But any time ticket holder benefits goes into suspense, it automatically triggers and them into the outcome phase. So those phase two milestones that you did not receive, you will be able to pick those remaining phase twos up in what we call a reconciliation payment. So so you're not going to miss them. They're just a little delayed, should we say, right? So, and that's because there was no fault, you know, as a matter of fact, it was a good job. You know, you took the beneficiary from receiving federal cash benefits to now they're in the outcome phase, so they're no longer receiving their federal cash benefit. And so we're still going to pay you. So now instead of receiving your phase twos, you're going to get outcomes, but you will receive the remaining phase twos at the point of reconciliation. And that just means that the beneficiary has received 12 outcome periods. So they've been off the benefits for 12 months. So then you would pick up your phase two. So they're not missed. You will get those. And to go into a little bit more information about reconciliation, if you would like, please contact the help desk. And they can explain that a little further, but you will get those payments just a little bit later.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I just wanted to go back before we go to the next question. The individual asked Adele in the chat how, you know, what was the portal link. Just wanted to note that they can contact EN Service and request the link to the portal, and at that time they will, you know, they will be informed if they have, if they're eligible to access the portal or not.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And do we have any other questions from the in the phone queue?
Yes, at the moment there are four more questions. So the next question comes from Sandra Abbott. Please go ahead.
Oh. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I have two questions, actually. One is dealing with unassigning a ticket of a beneficiary. In the portal, it seems like it's set up for the benefit, well, I would have to submit a form for the beneficiary to sign to unassign the ticket. But if I, as an EN, want to unassign a ticket, how do you do that in the portal? And the second question is, for, or is there a way on the portal to put in the beneficiary's either social security number, excuse me, or their name, and to get a list of the milestones that have been paid and have not been paid? Thank you.
Okay. And Katie, I'll let you take that portal question about the unassignment of the ticket. I do know that you're correct. ENs are able to unassign the ticket via the portal. And the beneficiaries would have to fax or mail in their request to unassign the ticket. So, Katie, do you want to provide that portal guidance for unassigning the ticket?
Right. It sounds like you do not have access to the portal, or if you do, that you
yes,
have nothing
I do.
In there. Do you have the ticket portal user guide? Have you gone through
yes,
the portal
I have,
training?
Yes, I've gone through all of that. And in the portal, it says unassign or assign a ticket. And when I put in to try to, for me as an EN to unassign a ticket, it's what it's asking for a report, to upload a report, and the report is basically for the beneficiary, it's not for the EN, because the questions that are posed, it's saying the beneficiary is unassigning the ticket for the following reasons.
No, those are based on the EN. It does sound like you need to be, you know, walk through this with the help desk, you know, to get you some specific help with what you're trying to do. But yeah, the portal is for EN. You know, you log in based on the DUNS and the entity that you are a part of. All the business that you're doing in the portal is acting as the EN. There is no beneficiary functionality. You can say, there is the option to say that the beneficiary requested it. Like a beneficiary can, you know, tell you, hey, can you unassign this for me? And you can decide to do that. That is one of the buttons, but it is the response from the EN. You are acting as an EN and unassigning the ticket. But if you need help with navigating that, I encourage you to call the help desk and get help with that so someone can walk you through it.
Okay.
That's what we're here for.
Yep. And when you call that, and that's one of the resources that we have on the page, but if you call, you're going to select option 3. They'll be able to help you with that, walk you through that process.
Okay. And then the second question was, is there a way in the portal to put in the beneficiary's social security number or their name to get a listing of paid and or denied payments?
Is the ticket assigned to you?
Yes.
Okay, because there is a report that you can run, Payments Made to Me, I think that's the correct title, and you will be able to see what payments have your ticket holder has received and in what cases have been denied. So there is a report already in the system that will provide you with that information. And
okay,
as Katie mentioned, if, you know, going through the portal guide, if that's not helping, please reach out to the help desk. because they will be able to walk you straight there, and you'll be able to run that report. You can download that information, and that will help you. It's actually encouraged that Ian run that report because that will help eliminate, you know, duplication of payment requests, you know, and again, just knowing what your next payment will be based on that report.
Yes, ma'am. And I run that report, which you're explaining, but it gives all of the beneficiaries. It doesn't break it down per beneficiary.
But I think if you run it, because I'm not that familiar, I can't access it, but if you do run the report and it gives you all of them, then once you download the report, you can sort and you can go in and find the SSN, you know, the individual that you're looking for. You can do it that way. So it's not just, you know, when you pull it up, just looking at it on the portal, go ahead and download that report, and then you can sort it for your use, to be able to sort it to how you would need to do it to pull the information.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay, and I just want to add, I mean, there are several ways to get at that information, so I do encourage you to look through the Ticket Portal User Guide. There is a way to actually drill down and look at just a specific beneficiary and all the information about that beneficiary. Like I said, I would point you to the guide, and I would point you, you know, if you can't find it there, to have someone help you, the help desk. But we have several ways to get the same information navigating through the portal. You just may not be familiar with everything, but we have Crackerjack experts on the phone ready to help you.
Yep. All right. And let's see, we've got a few minutes to go. I know you said you had three, so we'll take one more from the phone lines, and then we'll move to the chat.
Next question comes from Trina Piazza. Please go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, Trina.
I have a question. How are you? About information that's on the assignment list. When we click on list beneficiaries currently assigned to me, is there a way when we download that entire list to Excel that the 24 months of earnings shows on that report? It shows that we have to go into each individual client if we want to see earnings last 24 months, and I track that. Is there a way to get that on a report?
Katie, today is your lucky day.
Yeah, I know. You know, that is something we cannot provide to you in that fashion, and there's a purpose behind that, but I know it would be something nice to have, but it is kind of tied to some other confidential information that we can't provide you with. So at
but
this time and the way things are.
I mean, it's there if we actually go in and look at each individual. It's there. So you're providing it. Where we see earnings in the last 24 months, number of trial work level months and SGA months or better. See that, giving it to us, why can't it be given in a report?
Let's just say that it was put there as like a help, an indication. It was not put there to tell you when to request a payment or how to request a payment, right? I think you should leverage it because it's there, and it remains there. It hasn't been removed, but we're not going to be able to provide that to you in the way that you want.
Okay.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Trina. And we will move to the chat. Adele?
Hi, Kimberly. Let me pull this up. I have a couple questions here. Hi, this is Lisa with Employment Connection. Any suggestion on how to troubleshoot when facts don't come through accurately? I have attempted to fax services and support reviews, but informed that the facsimile was not complete. This has now caused my portal usage being closed until documents are received. And I turned my information in time, but Employment Connection is being penalized due to electronic error.
and I would appreciate your response. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm sorry, what'd you say?
It sounds like there's some faxing issues.
Right. So again, if you haven't, I would just suggest if you have not, please contact the EN Payments Help Desk. Of course, I really can't provide any guidance on that right now on this call, but I would suggest that you contact the Payments Help Desk and explain to them in detail what's going on. And of course, we wanted to make sure it's not on our end. And if, you know, if we haven't had any reported issues, then we would encourage them to check with their carrier and go from there. But without having all of the details, I really could not say what they should do other than contact the help desk, make sure it's not on our end, and then contact their carrier.
Makes sense. Thanks, Kim. Can you clarify the announcement from February 2020 regarding vocational rehabilitation involvement with a successful closure? What I can recall is that ENs were eligible for phase one payments, and if ticket was later assigned to an EN outside of that 18 months prior period, but now I don't hear that being referenced. So is that a change still in place, or does any prior successful closure with VR exclude phase one payments?
Okay, that was a lot. Okay, so let me break it down. So if a ticket had prior VR involvement and the case was closed successfully within 18 months prior to the ticket assignment, then phase one milestones 1 through 4 are off the table. ENs are not eligible for those. If for some reason, and I may be going the complete wrong direction with this, but if there's a second ticket, right? So if the beneficiary, for whatever reason receive a second ticket, then the payments start over. So it's only for that particular ticket, so that particular ticket holder. But the answer is yes. If while that, you know, under that one ticket, that ticket holder has successful closure within 18 months, then phase one milestone ones are off the table. I hope that answers the question, but I'm just trying to reiterate that rule still applies. That has not changed. It's still in effect.
Okay, thanks, Kim.
All right. And it is 1:59. So we've had some really good questions. Thank you, Adele, for providing your questions from the chat. Thank you, Rowan, for providing the questions through the phone queue. And I would like to say, if you have questions, please make sure, as Katie said, we have some great individuals that are there waiting to help you. Please use the resources. Please contact the help desk. If it's payments related, systems related, please make sure you contact them. Let them walk you through the process. And, of course, if it's something that, you know, if they need to refer you elsewhere, then let them take those steps. We want to make sure that we get your questions answered. We want you to be able to have access to the system that you need. We want to make sure that you're getting all of the information for, you know, with payments, questions that you have for payments. So please, please, please make sure you use the resources. Contact our help desk for any questions that you may have that we didn't get a chance to answer today, or any questions you have in the future. That's what they are there for. Please make sure you utilize them. I just want to thank you all again for joining our call today. This is our last All-EN Payments call for 2021, so I hope you will join us for our next All-EN Payments call that's scheduled for Tuesday, January 25th, 2022. Wow, it sounds funny saying that. But we hope you will join us then. Thank you so much, everyone, and enjoy the rest of your day.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for participation. You can now disconnect.